We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Football in the big house will be back in 2020. We know some of the specifics. We don't know all the details, but we will share what we know, and obviously you can tell I'm just a little bit excited. We'll get to my excitement, Brian Bush's excitement, in just a few minutes here on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
John, quite simply, Big Ten football is back.
We're back, baby! We're back!
Once again, here's John Jansen.
Welcome back, friends, and my goodness, what a day. Today is September the 16th. Football in the Big Ten is back. Mr. Bush, I can hardly sit down. At times this morning when I heard the news, I was almost incoherent in what I was saying. Simply because I'm excited selfishly for myself that I get to watch Michigan football, but even more so for these student athletes and the seniors, the opportunity to play their senior year when it's supposed to be played. Not ideal, not a full schedule, but this is a big moment for them. What was your initial reaction and your thoughts right now?
Yeah, dead on, John. The fact that this team, that all the Big Ten teams cannot just compete for a Big Ten championship, but they're going to have an opportunity to compete for a national championship. Everything is still in front of them. Yes, as you mentioned, it's unique, it's different, it's not ideal, but in these unprecedented times with what's going on, it's about as good as we're going to get, and I'm so thrilled for those guys. I'm so thrilled for that opportunity that they all have. And John, quite simply, Big Ten football is back.
We're back, baby. We're back.
Love it. All right, John. Well, let's go through each of the key parts of the Big Ten's announcement. We've got some sound coming up from Commissioner Warren, from some of the individuals on the task force, but I'm just going to take some of these bullet point paragraphs and get your thoughts. This was right at the beginning. The Big Ten Council of Presidents and Chancellors adopted significant medical protocols, including daily antigen testing, enhanced cardiac screening, and an enhanced data-driven approach when making decisions about practice/competition. The Council of Presidents and Chancellors voted unanimously to resume the football season starting the weekend of October 23rd to 24th, 2020. And John, the two keys there, daily antigen testing. I think we've seen that in sports. That allows sports to happen these days. And that, I think, was the biggest broad strokes advancement overall. And then what we heard from the Big Ten a little bit more than a month ago when they decided to postpone was the concern about any cardiac issues. And that enhanced screening, I think, goes to that token as well.
Well, it does. And, you know, this was brought back, the football in the Big Ten was brought back because of advancements in the medical community. Understanding more of the virus, understanding more of what could possibly be the long-term side effects, and making sure that we address all of those issues. I also think that, you know, when you talk about that antigen test, it's a tough one to say. I'm going to have to say it many times over the course of the football season. But there are computer models and there are reports that this will reduce infectiousness by 100%, knowing that you can put people on the practice field, in the football office, on the game field with a rapid test, knowing that they have tested negative. It's really hard to transmit a disease or a virus if you don't have it. Now, I don't buy into 100% of everything because
sure,
there is human error. That's why we call it practicing medicine, because it's just not perfect, right? So this will give everybody the opportunity and some level of comfort, and an increased level of comfort that those involved in the game, in the practice, in these facilities are not currently positive for the coronavirus. Doesn't guarantee anything, but it gives you great opportunity to move forward and to find a way to get back to some normalcy and live with the virus, right? That's one thing that we have been talking about, Brian, is the fact that we, until there is a vaccine, you know, nobody is 100% out of the woods, but we got to find a way to live with it so that we can get back to, you know, whether it's the economy, whether it is goals that these student athletes have, opportunities. You've got to find a way to coexist with the virus. And this right now is a good option, and it's our best option. And I'm glad the Big Ten has taken the opportunity to reinstate the football season with this protocol in place.
Yeah, John, and going along those lines, later on in the release, this is the quote from the Big Ten. The Big Ten will require student athletes, coaches, trainers, and other individuals that are on the field for all practices and games to undergo daily antigen testing, and that will begin September 30th. Test results must be completed and recorded prior to each practice or game. Student athletes who test positive for the coronavirus through point of contact daily testing would require a PCR test to confirm the result of the point of contact test. And John, what you were talking about earlier in terms of living with the virus, it's a lot easier to live with a virus when you have the type of information. And a lot of people have talked about contact tracing. It's difficult to contact trace when you don't have immediate or close to immediate results. We have that now, and it makes the contact tracing assignment so much easier, especially, well, let's face it, there are going to be more than 100 people testing every day for COVID at each of these 14 institutions in the Big Ten. If you do it daily, you got a puncher's chance to contact trace effectively.
Yeah, and quite honestly, I think you're looking at more of 150 plus on a daily basis because of the size of the football team, the staff, and everybody that is required to, you know, keep a football program operational and make it go smoothly. So this is, like you said, Brian, this is just a great opportunity, and thankful for the medical professionals, the companies here in America that are producing this, that this is, it's just, and obviously, you know, football, we understand our place in the world. And to you and I, it is our world. That's not the case for everybody. And hopefully with the ability to do this, with the ability to get more information as we continue to move forward and find ways to live with this, that we can show in the Big Ten, in Ann Arbor, at Michigan, at Schembechler Hall, that we can come up with and be what we talk about, leaders and best, come up with just opportunities. And show the way that it can be done.
Yeah, and that's something, John, that Coach Harbaugh has been discussing since this started, since even before the initial postponement of the Big Ten. And his statement today On Wednesday, when the announcement came out, stay positive, test negative, let's play football. And that's going to have to be the case if we're going to see this Michigan team play its full schedule, because the Big Ten has come out with its team positivity rate standards, 0 to 2%, and the team can continue with normal practice and competition. 2 to 5%, that's their orange range. And basically, that means they have to proceed with enhanced COVID-19 prevention. And if it's 5+%, team must stop regular practice and competition for a minimum of 7 days and reassess the metrics until they are improved. Those are low numbers. Those are lower than what we've seen for some states in terms of their positivity rate during this pandemic. This is no time for the players to relent, and Michigan's done a great job of it. They've been leaders and best when it comes to staying away from the virus. And the Big Ten has said that must continue everywhere or there won't be football.
And that's exactly right. You know, it's And I'm very proud of, and we've mentioned this, and I'll start with the student athletes, the sacrifices, the work that they have put in to be in that 0 to 2%, not even just at 0 to 2%, but be at 0% in the month of August to start the month of September. That, to me, shows that they are willing to put in the work. And they're being rewarded for that work. Now that work doesn't stop. They have to continue. The coaches, for continuing to educate their players and stress the importance of what they are doing, I think that has to go noticed. It has to be, you know, marked that this is a group effort from Ward Manuel and the staff at Michigan to be able to put together the protocol that, you know, a lot of people are looking at how did Michigan do this, all right? And we talked to Daryl Conway a couple of times, who was a major factor in the process of designing the protocol, instituting the protocol, and seeing it work, you know, all the way to the top now that we have seen from, you know, President Schlissel. And I'll be the first to admit, I hope I was respectful, but we have been critically respectful of you know, the decision that was made early in August of the Big Ten. And I couldn't be more proud of the University of Michigan for showing the way, and for those that needed more information, needed to see more developments, have been able to look at everything and say, you know what? There's been enough advancement. We can change course. Changing course is not easy. And I'm so excited that we have had those individuals to be able to change course.
No doubt. So as it stands right now, football has announced its return October 23rd and 24th. The Big Ten has announced that updates regarding fall sports other than football and what's to come in winter sports, all that will be announced in the coming days and weeks. The Big Ten held a press conference on Wednesday morning. Here were some of Commissioner Kevin Warren's opening comments.
First and foremost, this really is a special day for the Big Ten Conference. I mean, this is all about our student athletes, their families, our coaches, administration, the surrounding communities, and our fans. And the only focus and goal that we've had over the last 40 days was to safely allow our student athletes to return to competition so they can fulfill their dreams of being able to get a world-class education at one of our 14 institutions, but to be able to compete at the highest possible level from an athletic standpoint. And our chancellors and presidents, they have been laser-focused from day one to making sure that we create an environment to allow our student athletes to participate in the most safe and healthy manner. And so shortly after the postponement of our season in August, the conference office, alongside with our chancellors and presidents, really went to work to establish our Big Ten Return to Competition Task Force. And what we wanted to do was to create an environment where we could work in a collaborative and a transparent manner to make sure that when we do return to sports competition, that we would make sure that we handle any and all questions and issues associated to make sure we have an environment for our student athletes to be able to compete at the highest level but to make sure that they were healthy and safe.
Commissioner Warren also discussed some of the task forces that were part of this effort to get back to play. Dr. James Borchers of Ohio State, one of the key players on the medical task force, he was the one available during that press conference on Wednesday. He broke down the main medical changes, the testing, contact tracing efforts that are allowing this to happen.
Our ability to test consistently and uniformly amongst the conference and to provide that was really important. And I think we have been very comfortable with the idea that we'll be able to provide daily rapid testing that will give us great surveillance of our student athletes and those individuals involved in those competitions, coaches and staff, and be able to respond to that with confirmatory molecular testing and PCR testing so that we can quickly remove individuals that may be at risk of infecting someone else. And I think as we worked with our task force, infectious disease specialist, epidemiologist, and looked at this process that quite frankly, others have described as well. And as we looked at the various testing options, we became more and more convinced that there was a path forward. We became very convinced that using a data-driven approach where we'll monitor data not only regionally, statewide, in our local communities and university communities, but amongst our teams specifically, and using specific metrics to our teams, such as the test positivity rate of the team or the population positivity rate of the team or the group that's involved, will help to guide us in making certain we're moving forward in a responsible fashion and give us some guidelines on when it may not be safe to move forward. I think that there were some issues that around contact tracing that the testing helps us to solve inside our athletic environment, and then other issues around this infection in general that we needed to continue to explore our protocols to assess for cardiac issues and other health issues we became as a group, as a medical subcommittee and sports medicine committee, more and more comfortable with as a path forward for our student athletes.
Ultimately, this was the president's decision in the Big Ten back in August. It still was and is now. Northwestern's president, Morton Shapiro, provided his thoughts on what changed.
The medical advice I relied on when I voted 5 weeks ago said almost personally, no chance that we could do it safely. We weren't going to have the testing and all the safety protocols and heart considerations and all that. So for me, it was sort of, well, okay, we're going to postpone the season and let's hope we have that in place in first weekend in January. And then medical opinion changed. There have been a lot of advances in terms of understanding the pandemic and myocarditis and the like over the past 5 weeks. I've always believed, you know, Paul Samuelson, the great economist, once was asked why he changed his mind, Dave. And he said, when the facts change, my mind changes. Doesn't the same thing happen for you? The facts change, our minds change.
So, John, there's some thoughts from the Big Ten's press conference on Wednesday. All in all, this feels a lot different, a lot more unified. Obviously, an easier decision publicly because people want to see football. But I think the Big Ten also learned from some of its mistakes when they rolled out the decision-making process a month ago.
Yeah, and I think we all have to – there's still a lot of questions that need to be answered, and we'll get to those over time in regards to what happened and the breakdown and you know, where the Big Ten was. But if you can learn from past mistakes and the fact that we're in the middle of a pandemic, that's going to happen, right? And while we didn't necessarily agree with it, we accepted the fact that it was a possibility we wouldn't play football. We just needed more information. Now, in this opportunity to reinstate football, they've been a lot more transparent with the information that they are using. So we also know in a couple of weeks when we get closer to game time, the standards that we have to meet as a program, so we can tell if we're going to be able to play on Saturdays or if we're going to have to, you know, sit one out.
No doubt about that. The other aspect that was addressed during Wednesday's press conference, the schedule. And Barry Alvarez, who headed up the scheduling task force, broke some of those parameters down.
We came up with four different models that were presented that we felt made sense, presented to the COPC. And the schedule that they selected will start in October, October 23rd, 24th. We will play 8 games plus one, very unique Champions Week, where the teams from the East and West will match up and play one another, 2 versus 2, 3 versus 3, 4 versus 4, et cetera, with the championship game being played at the end of that week, I believe December 18th and 19th.
8 games, 8 weeks, a Big Ten championship game, and 2 versus 2. So the second place teams per division, the third place teams per division. That opens up potentially a second Big Ten team in the playoff if things work out right. Your thoughts on what you're hearing about the schedule?
I'm excited about it, and I think it's a great move to include that. The extra game, so you get the 9 total games in. And it'll be interesting because we still don't know, you know, obviously the ACC, the Big 12, they've already started their season. They may or may not get in more games or as many games. The SEC is yet to start up, and they may or may not get in as many games. So it's going to be very important that when the College Football Playoff Committee looks at everything, that they can look at all the data points, all the everything that they look at, and they're the experts, and they should be able to compare apples to apples when it comes time to make this decision.
I can't wait. You can't wait. But I guarantee you the two guys you're about to talk to are even more excited than us because they've been doing it every single day waiting for this. And hey, as we've learned in 2020, no guarantees. But man, this feels good and it's got to feel great for these two.
Oh, Ben Herbert, I could tell when I was talking to him, he wanted to jump out of his skin with the excitement of being in the Big House and watching these players get the payoff that they deserve for the hard work. And Carlo Kemp, I mean, enough said. What he's gone through, what he has done, the decision to come back to get that 5th year, so much excitement for this football season. So we'll get a chance to talk to Ben Herbert first, and then immediately following my conversation with Carlo Kemp. Please enjoy. We are joined by one of my favorite individuals in the Michigan football program, and that is the strength and conditioning coach, Ben Herbert. Coach Herbert, thanks for joining us. How you been?
John, doing well. As always, it's a pleasure.
I've got to ask, because I'm sure you've answered the question, like, what was it like? How has it been? All of those things in regards to trying to get your players the information, the tools to be able to be successful while they're at home, coming back, working out in different ways. But I want to ask this for you. There is nobody that deals with the players more than the strength and conditioning coach. I know Mike Gittleson, when I was here, I saw him for 5 years, every single day. For you, what's been the challenge for you when you didn't have or weren't able to have that personal interaction on a daily basis?
I think the first challenge was myself. My mentality is not, I do not thrive, or at least let me say this, I did not thrive in the virtual world, the texting, the calling, the computer, so to speak. I want to be with you. I want to feel you in person, right? The mental vibe, the physical vibe, all the things we get on a daily basis. I found myself in the exact mindset that I despise of, complaining, how are we going to do it? What are we going to do? We can't recreate. And I just said to myself, stop. All of the things that you're talking about, you know, this one-on-one conversation with myself, you better flip the switch and you better do what you just said you didn't want to do. And that's, you better make it the best it can be. And so literally I had that brief conversation with myself, and I got a hold of my staff. We got together and I said, we're going to make this, in my opinion, you know, we're going to make this as unbelievable as we can make it. We're going to control what we can control, and we're going to create just a dynamic, interactive experience for our guys to be able to just buy into, bite onto, and most importantly, get results from. So once I, you know, had that initial conversation, got my mind right, staff-wise, we came together and we created a structure, you know, that I felt really, really good about, you know, an organized structure for these guys day in and day out that was dialed in, that was detailed, that could get us, and it was sustainable. We could still be in that program. You know, I didn't know, was it going to be a week? Was it going to be, it ended up being 92 days until we were back in the weight room. And we rolled right through it. And the longer we were in it, the better we got. And I was very proud of that.
Day 93, guys start walking through the door. What was it like?
Literally arms up, you know, to the sky, like, thank you. Being back in the facility.
Yeah.
You know, to be back in our facility and then to have the boys coming in and we had the tunes going and guys were excited to be back. We had had a lot of interaction, you know, over the course of that time, but just to have the boys back together again and then how we broke it up, you know, for our summer training groups had a unique twist to it that brought out even more personality than even I expected because I had never structured it like we did. But just the you know, the garage doors were open, the sun was shining, the chalk was flying, and, you know, the boys were grinding together again. So
we had this conversation before spring ball was supposed to start, and you were talking about the gains that the O-line and D-line were making because that's obviously something that I'm going to ask you about on a regular basis. Day 93, when those guys come back, because you had talked about the great gains that they were making, what type of shape did they come back in? What type of condition were they in?
Our guys did a great job of sustaining, you know, the level of commitment and their attention to detail. What they displayed in the winter, you know, was really positive. Felt really good about it. And then their ability, they weren't where we left off, but they weren't far off. You know, we set that cycle and we trained Monday through Saturday. What we were able to do in four, we got 7 weeks of work in 4 weeks. By the time they got through that first, you know, 10 to 12 days, I mean, they were right back in rhythm, you know, and just feeding off each other too. That was the cool part is they were hungry and they were ready and willing.
How have you kept them ready? And I ask that because I know that there's a 4 week deal that you do here, or there's a 6 week, there's always an end date, and that end date has continually moved for you guys. How do you keep them at that peak physical readiness, that peak mental and emotional readiness, without knowing when that first practice is going to be or that first game?
You know, we touched on it when we had that 92-day window. We didn't know that it was going to be the time that it was. So ultimately, you know, we're focused on what we're going to do today. You have to wholeheartedly believe in we're going to focus on what we're going to do today. And what tomorrow brings, one of my biggest pet peeves is when people want to know, and when guys want to know, well, they say to their teammates, well, what'd you do today? Or what do we got today? Or what? And I say, oh, what's going to happen 17 days from now in your life? And they go, coach, I don't know. And I go, you don't know, nor should you care. Reason being is you're not going to control what's coming in 17 days. What's going to come, right, you're going to control how you react to it. So what we got right now, whatever I put in front of you, you're going to eat up. You're going to attack it. You're going to encourage each other through it. And you're going to put your best foot forward. And then once that's done, you'll go on with the rest of your day. And then when we're back together again tomorrow, you're going to take that same mindset. You get away from getting, you know, caught up in what's going on in the, you know, in the world, so to speak. You're just focused on, you know, the task at hand. And that task, you know, is going to be what it is. And just that task-oriented mindset, you know. And now they're just in rhythm of, you know, thinking that way. So it doesn't – the end goal, that end game, you know, and I've used a reference. We got the Big Ten schedule. 5 days later, it changed. How did that impact you mentally? So it impacted everyone. So, okay, if they tell us we're going to play again tomorrow, you're going to get excited and say they cancel it the next day. Are you going to – right? Are you going to ride that wave? Are you just going to manage – they can start us, stop us 15 times, and we're going to just keep on attacking this weight room. Every day you walk in, we're going to keep on attacking it. When you go on the practice field, you're going to fly around. Just that mentality of, you know, attack what's in front of you. You know, everything else will take care of itself. They're going to let you play at some point. You just need to make sure you're ready when they do.
And you pretty much answered my next question, but we heard Coach Harbaugh about a week or 10 days ago talk about we could be ready in 2 weeks. How much does that mentality, or how much, what's the benefit do you think this college football season for the Michigan football team they'll have going into it with that mindset that you just described?
Yeah, we've just been able to sustain a level of preparedness since the middle of June until now that increases the likelihood of us going out and doing what we're capable of doing, because we've been able to recreate it on a daily basis. Level of training is at a certain place. Level of preparedness on the practice field with scheme is at a certain place. You know, and there's not a large gap that needs to be closed to be from, you know, where we are to where we need to be. Is there a gap? Sure there is. But is it significant? It's not, in my opinion.
Is there anything that you have learned or done during this unique off season that you think you'll carry over to when things hopefully get back to a normal off season? We have a spring ball, we've got a summer cycle, we've got a winter cycle. Anything that you've done now or learned now that you can use even when things are back to a normal schedule?
So how we structured our training groups, I've always structured training groups in the past based off of position specific, based off of class schedule, based off of offense or defensive side of the ball, and a few more variations. I've never structured training groups based off of who you live with. So guys, their training group was dictated by who they lived with. They only trained with their roommates. Now we had a few additions. So training groups were 5 to 10 guys. You had some houses of 7 people and you had some singles. So we would add a single or a double to a group of 5 or 6, and that would create our group. The natural level of enthusiasm and that camaraderie that guys have, you're choosing to live with someone because of the relationship you have. So that's one. There's a natural positive vibe to that. The second part is your willingness to hold someone accountable that you're really comfortable with is much higher. Right? So the quality of work that was getting done and the level of competition amongst those groups was extremely high. I mean, there wasn't, if we wanted the thumb to be fully extended and it was just slightly extended, we wanted the fingers. I mean, every aspect we could coach, but every guy was coaching it. The quality of work, the competition, that natural enthusiasm was at an all-time high. It was awesome. I never would have thought to do it like that, but it allowed us. Now, guys, you know, there was no cross-contamination, so to speak. They were only exposed to, you know, that group of guys on a daily basis. And how that, just that the feeling that we had in and amongst the groups was pretty awesome.
Last question before we let you go. The moment they give you the go, practice starts, the moment you walk down the tunnel, 2020 football season starts, the kickoff. How emotional is that moment going to be for you?
It'll be extremely emotional. I think the key is that the way that this, you know, I love a challenge. My staff loves a challenge. Our football team, they've embraced and attacked all challenges that have been put in front of them thus far. The pay dirt is when you walk down that tunnel and you walk onto that field. Just before practice the other day, to walk down to be back in the stadium, but to know it's going to go out and it matters and it's going to count. You know, that's what we do it all for. You know, are those opportunities where you get a chance to go out and compete. It'll be one of, if not the most rewarding feelings to have endured and to have navigated what we've endured and navigated to get to that point of competition will be extremely rewarding. Very proud.
Well, appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
joining us now on In the Trenches. I'm assuming as excited and probably a heck of a lot more excited than I am is Captain Carlo Kemp. Captain Kemp, what is your feeling today knowing that we have an opportunity to play Big Ten football?
I can't even describe, you know, how I feel right now. I'm just so happy and just so thankful that I woke up today and I kind of knew something was up when I woke up, and my phone usually has, you know, zero messages on it, maybe one or two. But today I woke up, you know, 5 missed calls, 100 messages, things were going off on Instagram. I was like, okay, I got to check my phone. Something's going on today. And everything was just, you know, repeating itself. Congratulations, the season's going. We're playing football. Our defensive line chat had, you know, 20 messages in it. We're playing. Coach knew it. I mean, so everything was just leading towards, you know, we're playing. And when you see it so many times and it's confirmed, and then I turn on the TV and it's all over ESPN, it's on Big Ten Network, it's like, okay, we're really playing. Right now, it's just, you know, the drive here today, I live about 15 minutes away, was just like music blasting and just like feeling so good.
I can only imagine. And honestly, if I just said, hey, thanks a lot, go Blue, and we ended it right there, that would be all I needed, because I've same thing here is when you get the news, I'm literally still trying to catch my breath because of the excitement. And what would for you, because you do have the opportunity to get those messages, you turn on the TV, but we've seen this especially over the past week where there's this vote coming, or, you know, football is going to be back, and then all of a sudden you hear a counter report. What's the last week been like for you and your teammates?
Yeah, so, you know, this week was more of the positive outlook versus going back to August. We were kind of sitting here with the same mentality where it was more negative, which was, you know, season's getting canceled, it's getting close to getting canceled, okay, it's canceled. And taking us back, you know, to Saturday or even that Friday, we were all here, and that's when I think the news started to pick up, and guys, they're going to be voting over the weekend. And for me personally, I just approached it as, you know, we'll find out when we find out. Just because we had already been through something so similar so soon, and which was kind of more sad news with the cancellation or the postponement. And so I just took it as, you know, we'll find out when we find out. And whatever happens, it's going to be positive. So, you know, Saturday came, Sunday came. There was a lot of chatter on, you know, Sunday they're voting, a secret meeting Sunday. Everyone's getting together and having a secret meeting to vote. And, you know, I just kind of, I didn't want to pay too much attention to it. Monday came, we were here 2 days ago. Tuesday came, and you wake up today, and you kind of piece all that information together with all the news that's been going on. And, you know, it's real when your coaches are texting you. That's how you know it's certified. And it's validated today. And now everything seems so good. And it's like everything's back. That's how it's supposed to be back.
So at the beginning of this, I had a chance to talk to your mom, and she came on the podcast here. And for those that don't remember, Peach Pagano is Carlo Kemp's mom. And have you had a chance to talk to Mama P, and what's been her reaction to you getting a chance to play your senior year?
Not yet. We've only been texting today, and she's already got her Instagram and her Snapchats up and full head-to-toe Michigan gear, so I know she's excited. But I haven't gotten a chance to get on the phone with her. We've just been texting, you know, as much as we can. Let's go, just repeating that back and forth to each other. So she's excited, and, you know, I'm very excited, and I'm very thankful that I get the opportunity to, you know, have this senior year and be able to play and have my family, you know, watch me one more time and take the field with all my teammates again.
Thoughts on the reported schedule? It's going to be the weekend of, you know, October 23-24, 8 games. Yeah, obviously the championship game to follow, but also with the added caveat that everybody gets that extra game. You know, one's going to play against one, East and West, in the championship game, then 2-2, 3-3, all the way down the line. just your initial thoughts on the schedule. I'm guessing by your response, this is the first you've heard of it.
Yes, that was the first time I heard of the schedule. Look, I'm sitting here and I'm just thankful. I'm so happy that I get to play. So 8 games, 9 games, however they do the seeding at the end is just an extra, you know, blessing. And the number of games isn't anything for me. It's just, you know, being able to play. And they've given us 8 games, 9 games, and I mean, I'll take it. I'm so happy. I'm so thankful that, you know, the commissioner listened and was able to find a way to get us back and give us a safe way to play. And thankful for, you know, President Schlissel to, you know, change his vote and let us all play. So I'm very thankful for this opportunity that both those guys are giving us right now.
And, you know, something that you and I have talked about, I've talked to some of your teammates about, is perspective. Knowing that at some point this was, you know, completely taken away in a matter of moments, and you're sitting there thinking, you know, what just happened? Now all of a sudden, a matter of moments, it's back. How has this changed your perspective on how you may feel when you run out of the tunnel that late weekend in August, in October?
Well, going back to, Saturday, we had a practice in the stadium, and obviously it's just helmets right now. And, you know, walking through that tunnel was kind of like it was very bittersweet, because at that moment there wasn't anything guaranteed and there really wasn't anything coming up. And it was just, you know, the season's postponed, the season's canceled. So, you know, I was walking through that tunnel and I was kind of by myself. Everybody else, you know, was either in front or behind me, but it was just kind of me walking, and it was just like, man, it was kind of like a sad realization that, you know, this might be the last time, and I might have already done my last time back in last November to, you know, come out through this tunnel, and I was picturing where the band is and listen to the fight song as we paint this, as we're walking down the tunnel, and the fans right there screaming, and it was like, it was kind of sad for me, and I got a little teary, but, you know, now I don't even got to think about that moment anymore, you know, because now I'll get to take the field live, and who's ever there will be there, and the band will be playing, I hope, and I want to think about that for, you know, another couple of months. But going through that tunnel on last Saturday was definitely like a moment of, you know, was it my last time, and do I have to appreciate all these practices that I get in the stadium as much as I did on game day? But now, you know, I'll be able to run through that tunnel at least a couple more times.
And Carlo, before we let you go, we're talking to senior Carlo Kemp on the defensive line, captain Carlo Kemp. When you think about the work that you have had to do, we heard from Coach Harbaugh that you guys have put in so much work and made so many sacrifices. What has it been like in, you know, on campus for you as a student, for your teammates, and you know, just describe some of the work and the sacrifice that you guys have had to make just to get to this point?
Yeah, I mean, and it really goes back to when we came back here in June as a team, and you know, at that point the football season was still moving forward, and we all were just, you know, sitting and practicing and lifting, and we all came together and we bought into, if we want to play a season and we want to not get shut down and we want to play these games and continue to practice and do everything as normal, you know, you got to be as disciplined and as safe as possible. And that meant, you know, not doing some of the normal things like we like to do in the summertime, which is, you know, go to the lake, have big barbecues, as, you know, whole defensive lines. You can't do it. And that was something we really bought into. You know, guys would come to the facility, train, work out, do everything we had to do here. And then we would just go home. And, you know, it did kind of, it was maybe a bummer that, you know, a lot of times that you would see, you know, some of your best friends was only when we were working out, only when we were doing field work. But it's what got us to this point. We've done really well with having as minimal guys test positive, and that's a real testament to our guys of how serious and how disciplined we are to not just keeping ourselves safe, but we're really trying to do it to keep everybody else safe, you know, keep everybody else on the team safe and do our part here in the community. And that's just carried us through since we've gotten back. And I think now, with the season, you know, being confirmed and playing, it's only going to heighten people's attentiveness to getting back to and just continuing on staying on the path that we've been doing. And if that means, like I said, you can't do some of the things that you like to do or some of the things that we're used to doing, if it's, you know, just going out to a restaurant, getting food, you know, we've been doing a lot of a DoorDash. We're big DoorDash guys and we eat what we got here at the facility, but it's definitely been something you had to, you know, change a way of your living, but this is what we love to do. We love to play football, and it's not really so much a sacrifice when you think about it, because it's just something we love to do. We love to play football. It's you know, it's our life. So if it's something you love to do, you know, guys aren't really sacrificing a whole lot.
Well, Carlo, I can't wait to watch number two take the field. I'm so excited for you, your teammates, all of them, but especially for you guys as seniors. So enjoy the moments that you have ahead of you, and I can't wait to talk to you again. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. No problem. Talk to you soon.
I want to thank Ben and Carlo for their time. A lot going on in Ann Arbor in Schembechler Hall, so to get a few minutes of their time is very valuable. Thank them for that, and we look forward to continuing to bring you the information. When the schedule is finally announced, we'll break down the opponents and what we're going to be looking at late in October. So excited, beside myself. So we will do this again soon, so stay tuned here on In the Trenches.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network. M Go Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.